Well, I want to begin this morning with a scene from a book and a movie. You may have seen it, Sue Monk Kidd's book, The Secret Life of Bees. The book is better than the movie. If you've not read it, I'd recommend it to you. It's really a redemptive kind of book. And it's, I think, just a good old-fashioned story. The main character in her book is a little girl, and her name is Lily. Lily ran away from home because her mother had been tragically killed, and her father was mean and even abusive. She runs to a little town in South Carolina, and she's taken in by a beautiful black woman by the name of August. Now, August knew Lily's mother. August also knew Lily's grandmother. And August loved this little girl, Lily. One day they were talking, and while they were talking, it was thundering and lightning outside, and August started telling Lily the truth about her very young life. That Lily's mother had married because she'd become pregnant with Lily. That she'd been what some would have called an unwanted child. And that her mother had gone through this terrible period of depression. For a while, she even abandoned Lily. She'd come back to get Lily and was going to run away with her. And then she was killed. When the little girl heard the news, the story of her life, all these wild tears exploded from her eyes. She was hurt. She was grieving. She held on to this woman's skin. And the woman wrapped her black arms around her like a life preserver. This is what happened next. After telling Lily her story, August said to the little girl, "Come on, let's get you into bed." And then Lily recalls what happened. "In the honey house, that's where I slept," she writes. "August waited till I crawled under the sheets. And then she bent over and kissed my forehead. She looked at me and said, 'Every person on the face of the earth makes mistakes, Lily. Every last one. We're all human. Your mother made a mistake, a terrible mistake. But Lily, she tried to fix it. She did her best.' Good night," I said, and I rolled onto my side. "Remember, there's nothing perfect," August said. "It's just life." Wouldn't you agree? There's nothing perfect. Just life. Not a one of us is perfect. Not a one. Whether you're a young girl by the name of Lily or you're one of those families who remember loved ones lost, members of your own family perhaps, we've had a lot of tragedy in our church over the last several weeks. And through it all, I find as I have conversations that these folks that are dealing with their grief are grappling with more than just their grief. It's a spiritual crisis in many ways. And I have to say, there's nothing perfect. And no one perfect. Only life. Couldn't you say that about your job, or your marriage, or your children, or yourself? There's nothing perfect, just life. Couldn't you say that about your church or your faith? Nothing perfect, just life. What we know is that sometimes life is messy. Is that true for you? Sometimes life gets a little bit messy. Sometimes it's chaotic. Sometimes it doesn't move from point A to point B as we anticipated that it would. Anybody ever have things go always the way that they anticipated things would go? No. We may want it to, and we may pray for it to. I had a church member tell me today, I have a few things that I think I could correct God on. I try to tell him how I think the world should run, but doesn't seem to listen to me all the time. That's what she told me. We pray for it, but in the end, there's nothing perfect. There's only life, right? And life is swirling inside the heart of this psalmist. When you look at this psalm, written centuries ago, it's like a wind in a thunderstorm. It's like dust on the floor of the desert. It's swirling around. Sometimes something inside this psalmist has really dried up, you know? I mean, really dried up. He was thirsty. He wanted all kinds of stuff, peace of mind, joy of spirit, thirsty for happiness. He was parched for God. Have you ever been that thirsty? And notice Psalm 42. He asks the question with all the bluntness of a hammer hitting a piece of lumber. When will I ever see the face of God? Remember, the face is the essence of a person, right? And it's the light and the soul of a person. The face radiates personality. The face is the first thing that we look at and we recognize as a person. To want the face of God is to want God's presence, to want God's essence, to want God's energy, to want to witness and see God. I'd like to see God. I haven't seen God for a while. I need to see God. And the psalmist was living without the face of God, or at least feeling as if God was gone, indifferent to his life. God didn't seem to care. My life is a mess. My life is in chaos. And yet God doesn't seem to be bothered by it at all. And the chaos is just swirling violently around him. It lasts so long. Sometimes it feels like God is just absent. He says, My tears have become my food both day and night. Imagine that, a diet of tears. Nothing is perfect. There's only life. So where do you go to find calm? Where do you go when life is filled with chaos? My guess is that you do what I do when chaos arrives. I don't know about you, but I try to eliminate it. Do you try to eliminate it? Some of you are saying yes. This means yes. This means no. It's as natural as pulling your hand away from a fire, isn't it? I mean, when you have chaos, you try to get rid of it. Stop the chaos. They'll be calm, right? I mean, what if the chaos is exactly what we need? What if in the whirlwind we get answers to the chaos? What if the challenges of life really do bring us creativity in life? The poet Edna St. Vincent Millay once said about chaos that it's nothing more or less than something simple yet not understood. Maybe we can find new answers or new ways of living, new responses in the midst of the chaos. Jesus understood. He said, I've not come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword. It's been a puzzling thing to me that some try to affirm that God created the world out of nothing. Have you ever heard that? When you think about it, nothing is a complete abstraction. I'm not even sure that the pure nothingness is even possible. What you really find in the book of Genesis is that God created the world with something. And do you know what that something was? Chaos. It was muck and mud and primordial ooze and all that hanging out in space. The earth was formless, void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Something was there. Creation, to me, was the ordering of chaos. There's no creativity without chaos, and there's no chaos without creativity. I don't know about you, but we were doing some spring cleaning, you know. Have you ever done any spring cleaning? You ever do any of that? And you go through and you get everything and you put it all. And I'm telling you what, that basement was an absolute wreck. We dumped it all out all over the place. And I said, we thought it was messy before. Now look at it. Well, we're cleaning, my wife said. I said, cleaning? You call this cleaning? It's a bigger mess than what it was when we started. She said, it's cleaning. And then before long, it was cleaning. But boy, there was chaos there for a little while. I don't know about you if you have chaos in the midst of order. But sometimes you have to have the chaos first before you get the order. In other words, nothing is perfect. Just have life. And life is going to be chaotic sometimes. It just is. God has room to operate in less than perfect lives. Aren't you glad about that? And so I have a lot of people tell me, when I get my stuff together, then I'm going to go to church. Have you ever had anybody tell you that? And I'm like, really? You think you're going to get your stuff? I once thought I had it together and it all fell apart. And it doesn't work that way, does it? You don't ever get it together, all together. And that's not how God works. God works in your life in the midst of the chaos. And sometimes God has a word for you that comes just because of the chaos that you're going through in your life. When I read this psalm through the week, I was sustained by the dialogue, but also by the faith that's order and doubt and chaos. The psalmist doesn't run from it. He experiences what the Buddhist teacher has called the wisdom of no escape. The psalmist says, why is my soul so downcast? And then he says to himself, well, I need to hope in God. And then he asks again, but God's forgotten me. Why has God forgotten me? And then he says again, I'm going to praise God forever. Are you catching this? It's back and forth and back and forth, one then the other, then one then the other. And the dialogue goes back and forth in the psalm. And when you see what's going on, you have to have this courage to have this inner kind of dialogue with God. Faith, doubt, order, chaos, calm, storm. And what I love most about this psalm, sometimes he's talking to himself. Do you ever talk to yourself? This means yes, this means no. I'm looking at you. I want to know if you talk to yourself. The biggest concern that I would have if you talk to yourself is, if you answer yourself. That's probably something might be wrong. Oh dear, I'm not going to tell your wife. Oh my. So at times he's talking to himself, he's talking to God, at times he's talking to other people who are in the chaos with him. Are there other people in the midst of the chaos with you? Yeah. He's got other people there too. He's talking to them. Some of them are hurting him. Some of them are helping him. That's the way it works, doesn't it? Some of us are hurt. Some of them are hurt. Some of them help. But he lives in the whirlwind, and what he's seeking to find is the calm in the midst of the chaos. He wants peace that passes all understanding. And folks, you find it when you stay with it. You got to keep working at it. You got to keep working at it. Keep the dialogue going with God. And I got to tell you, God's bigger than all of your questions. And God can handle your questions. Okay? Even if it's questions of doubt or struggles or difficulties. God can handle it. God's bigger than you know. I've had people tell me, oh, you should never doubt God. Oh, a lot's been born in doubt. And the struggles. The most faithful people I know have at one point or another in their life had a few doubts. It's okay. Just don't stay there. You've got to work through them. He doesn't settle for easy answers. He doesn't settle for religious cliches. He doesn't settle for eliminating the storm, which is what we try to do. Instead, the ancient wisdom that emerges for today's world and your world and my world is that the shape of faith is rediscovering God in the midst of the troubles. How do you find calm? I want to suggest very simply this morning, just breathe. Just breathe. Have you ever paid attention to your breath? To the miracle of inhaling and exhaling? Sometimes, just breathe. My mama used to tell me this when I was little. And I'd come in all excited. You know what she'd say? Honey, stop. Okay, take a breath. Okay, now. Right? Somehow that seemed to calm everything. Take a breath. Okay. You know what else she'd say to me? Lower your eyebrows. My eyebrows were way up here. She'd say, okay, take a breath. Lower your eyebrows. Okay, I do that. Now. It's a miracle, this inhaling and exhaling. And when you do it and you pay attention to it, you find your calm. Another way of saying, in the midst of troubles, we try to stay present in the moment. Not resenting or complaining, not escaping, not retreating, not becoming bitter, not becoming cynical, not leaping ahead to next week, not remorseful over yesterday. Finding a place in the moment. Shelley's grandmother has struggled with memory loss. Maybe you've known someone who's had to go through that place in their life. And Shelley said, how do I talk to her? I said, you live in the moment. Because what she knows is right now. And you know, really, that's not a bad thing. Just live in the moment. Take it in. Finding your place in the moment. And that's just another way of praying. Praying is a practice of spiritual centering, that when everything swirls around you, we pray not that the whirlwind around us will necessarily stop, because that doesn't necessarily happen. But what we hope for and pray for is that we can find calm in the midst of it. There's even a Christian practice called centering prayer. That moment of praying and listening and living in the now, something happens, a miraculous calm begins to happen. We find ourselves in the moment, in the breathing, in the praying, and the wonder of the presence of God, and we feel this wonderful, perfect peace around us in the midst of chaos. People ask me all the time, how do you handle dealing with those kinds of situations that are so difficult? How do you not lose it? Because I'm reminded of the presence of God in the midst of the chaos. And professionally, as a pastor, you have to separate yourself from your own feelings to becoming what people need, a calm presence in the midst of chaos. And so you pray and you listen and you live in the now. Perhaps I've been with you in moments of chaos. And in those times, I hope that the love and the presence and the calming of Christ is present in me for you. We center our prayer on the presence of God. You find it interesting that two moments of the life of Jesus, sitting in the garden and then later hanging on the cross, those two moments represent the whirlwind for Jesus. And do you know, in both places he prayed, let this cup pass from me. And he prayed, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Neither prayer stopped the whirlwind. But each prayer allowed Jesus to be present, dare I say, calm in the midst of chaos. Nothing is perfect. There is nothing perfect, just life. I read a little parable recently that captures it up pretty well for me. There was a woman who's being chased by tigers. Can you imagine that? A lot of you looked up when I said that. There's a woman being chased by tigers. You woke up. A woman being chased by tigers? That gotcha. So she's being chased by tigers. Got it? And naturally, you know what she was doing? She was running, as fast as she could. She runs and runs and runs until she comes to the edge of a cliff. And she's on the edge of the cliff, and there's some long vines there on the edge of the cliff. Tigers behind her. She got to the cliff. Now what's she going to do? Well, there's some long... She begins to climb down the vines. And looking down, guess what she sees? More tigers below. Oh. And so she begins to do what? Well, she starts climbing back up the vine. So she's going back up to where the tigers are above. And then, you know what? She noticed there's a little mouse gnawing on the vine that she's holding on to. Is this chaotic or what? Are you enjoying this? I love this parable. And so next to the vine that she's holding on to that has the little mouse that's gnawing on it, well, there's a vine that has some strawberries on it. And she looks up, and she looks down, and she looks at the mouse, and then she does something amazing. Do you know what she does? She takes a plump red strawberry and pops it in her mouth. Good for her. And she savors it. Don't you think? And the juice is running down her chin, and for that moment, that one moment, well, she forgot about the chaos. And she enjoyed her delicious berry.
She could feed the mouth
of the child. Dwight is still working it out in his head. Now, what would I do if I was in this situation? There is nothing perfect. Only life. And sometimes the most courageous thing you can do in the midst of chaos is breathe and pray. And I would dare say eat a strawberry now and then. Did you know that was coming? Oh, gosh. So God is discovered. Not yesterday in your life, not tomorrow in your life. God is discovered when? Right now. God is discovered. And if you discover God, you find peace. Even in the midst of chaos, look for God and find peace. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, sometimes life becomes so troubling and challenging and difficult that we tend to run or fix or act. And God, you long for us to be still and know that you are God. Give us calm in the midst of the chaos. Let us look to you and find you in the moment of now. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.